Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, autonomous driving, renewable energy, and much, much more. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host, and this show is a little late, and it's a little late because this was a really hard show to put together. Initially, on Thursday night, I'm putting my stories together, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to have enough for a 20-minute show. This is awful. And then I waited on Friday, and I kind of had the same thing, and then when I started putting the show together, I was like, oh no, I was wrong. At one point in time, I had 10 pages of notes for this show, which typically a 20-minute show is 3 to 5 pages of notes. And I was like, okay, well, this is way too much. So long story short, Tuesday's show is almost completely written, as well as today's show. Normally, we talk about EV news, and then we go into Tesla news. This episode, it's just going to be 100% Tesla news. There was a lot in regards to Tesla news. Before we start, though, I do want to give a shout out to Kilowatt community member Dale Steele. And when I say community member, I mean like OG community member. Like he's got the tattoos to show it. He doesn't really. I'm just kidding. Anyway, Dale hosts a show on Access Sacramento on Wednesdays from 12 to 1. The first show is Climate Report, followed by Making Tracks. Now, Climate Report is a show to inform people on climate change impacts, local actions, opportunities there in Sacramento, and it's a half hour long, so it's an easy listen. So if you're interested in that, you can go to accesssacramento.org and listen. And then immediately following that show, Dale has another show that is called Making Tracks. And this is, again, a half-hour weekly show, and it offers news and expert interviews and commentary on wildlife conservation and environmental challenges. Dale is actually a biologist, so he knows what he's talking about. So I'm going to put links in the show notes, but I would highly encourage everybody to go check it out. Again, this is not an ad. Dale is just a friend. He's a really nice human being. And if you're interested in this kind of thing, you should go listen to his show. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our Tesla news. You can now lease a Model 3 for $299 a month. Previously, it was $329 a month. This will be for the base Model 3, which is a single rear-wheel drive. Haha, Allison. A rear-wheel drive motor, 272 miles of range on a full charge. In reality, it's going to be more like 217 miles of range for everyday use because it's got 80% of that battery capacity, probably a little bit less. The base Model 3 does not qualify for the $7,500 federal tax credit here in the United States. In order to get the deal, you need to put $3,000 down, and then you need to pay an additional $695 acquisition fee. Now, when you return the car, you have to pay a $395 disposition fee. So that will actually get you 10,000 miles a year in a 36-month lease. If you add everything up, that equals $14,854. Now, if you divide that by 36, your effective monthly cost of ownership for that vehicle is going to be $412 when you add all the fees and the down payment up. Not too bad. If you're interested in the Hyundai Ioniq 6, they also have a pretty good lease deal going right now as well. Check with your local dealer for more information on that. Tesla has leaked some details on the Model 3 Performance Ludicrous Edition. So this wasn't leaked in an email or anything like that. There were folks that were sorting through Tesla's order page source code, and this is what we found. And by the way, we don't know if they're going to be using the Ludicrous badging on this vehicle or not. But let's get into what they found. The new Model 3 will have, or allegedly have, all new adaptive dampening powered by in-house software, which gives the vehicle more body control and doesn't sacrifice daily usability or comfort. So I'm guessing this is when you want to drive really fast. The latest generation driving mode integrates adaptive suspension controls and performance-optimized powertrain to deliver more responsive and fun behind the wheel. It's going to have track mode version 3, which will be all new calibration for the powertrain and adaptive suspension. I'm guessing, now correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm reading into this, it says adaptive suspension. Is this air ride suspension? I'm not 100% sure on that. I would imagine that it is, but maybe I'm wrong. Let me know. You can customize handling, balance, stability controls, and regenerative braking while you're in track mode. The track mode, I do not recommend normal people enable track mode. You're just going to wreck your car. Next up, we have all new seat designs, which are enhanced to kind of cushion your body and hold it in place. Let's see here. There's also bespoke chassis and suspension hardware, which is going to be tuned to provide intuitive, razor-sharp response to driver inputs. Forged performance wheels, lightweight staggered wheels provide sharper turn in response, improved predictability, increasing traction out of corners, and optimized aerodynamics. Enhanced pedal feel and improved heat management to ensure consistent braking at all speeds, and a lightweight carbon fiber decor, which will be unique to the Model 3 performance. Now, we don't know if any of this is true, again, but it sounds like this is all tailored for people who want to go super fast. And if you want to go super fast, by all means, go super fast on a track. Don't enable any of this stuff on the regular road where you can hurt somebody else or yourself. While we're on the topic of things that Tesla might announce soon, Tesla may announce that they're going to invest $3 billion in India next week. Elon will be visiting Indian Prime Minister Modi. Tesla and India have been talking back and forth for quite a while. So I would give the likelihood of this happening, I think this is very high. I would give this a high likelihood of actually happening. We talked last episode about the Tesla accelerator pedal issue. The decorative part of the pedal is sliding up and off of the actual accelerator, and that is causing the truck to accelerate because it's sliding up and off. That decorative plate is getting stuck on the floorboard, and there's no way, good way to get it unstuck while you are driving. So if you find yourself in this situation, you can press and hold the brake pedal because the brake pedal actually overrides the accelerator. I actually tried this on the freeway. You get a lot of alarms from the car that you're actually doing this. I didn't bring it all the way to a complete stop, but I went from 75 to about 50, and then I chickened out because I didn't want to ruin my car. I didn't know what it would do, so I just chickened out. But you can also hold up on the stock to get through that neutral position, and it's actually literally a neutral position as well as the neutral gear. You can just kind of hold up on the stock and wait for it to shift into neutral. I'm not sure how you would do this if your car doesn't have a stock. You would have to maybe touch on the touchscreen to get that done. I know there are folks out there who could probably help us out with that answer. Now that we have identified the problem, what is Tesla going to do about it? Well, we know that Tesla is recalling 3,878 Cybertrucks, which were produced November 13th, 2023 to April 4th, 2024. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration issued a safety report, and here's a little excerpt from that, explaining what's going on. If the pad on the accelerator pedal becomes trapped in the interior trim above the pedal, the performance and operation of the pedal will be affected, which may increase the risk of a collision. Note that the application of the brake pedal will cut the torque, including when both the brake and accelerator pedals are pressed, and continued application of the brake will bring the vehicle to a stop as quickly as the accelerator pedal was not pressed. So basically, if the accelerator is all the way down to the four and you hold the brake down, it overrides, which we talked about earlier. So we know the issue. We know what Tesla is going to do to solve it. What caused the issue? Well, last episode, I was unclear why Tesla used a lubricant on the accelerator pedal. And it turns out this lubricant was kind of like a soap, and it was actually designed to help with the installation of that decorative piece over the pedal. But according to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, this was an unapproved change, and the lubricant that Tesla used, there was a residual which reduced friction or retention of that decorative piece. And since it was reduced friction over time, it kind of slid up and up and up. And for some people, it slid far enough up that this became a real issue. Now, I will say that if the accelerator is stuck down and you use the brake pedal to come to a complete stop and you let go of the brake, it's going to accelerate again. So you need to make sure when you come to a complete stop, you put the car in park. That way you don't risk injuring yourself or someone else. As far as the timeline goes, Tesla was made aware of this issue on March 31st, 2024, by a customer claim. And on April 2nd, they validated that what the customer said was true, basically. Not long after that initial claim, there was a second claim that Tesla received, and they issued a voluntary recall on April 12th. And I'm pretty sure it was voluntary. I'm pretty sure I read voluntary, but now I'm doubting myself. So, you know, keep that in mind. Elon did mention on Twitter that there were no injuries or accidents because of this issue, and Tesla issued the recall because they were being cautious. Overall, I think this was a reasonable response by Tesla. Way back when I was like 18 years old, I went to a firefighter conference in Anchorage, Alaska, because I used to live in Alaska. And at that conference, I took a class on extrication. And one of the people teaching the class was an engineer in the automotive industry. And we were talking, you know, just chatting back and forth. And again, I don't know if this is true or not, but he had told a group of us, it wasn't just me, but a group of us, that automotive companies have an acceptable number of deaths and injuries based on, you know, what happens with a car. Like if it hits a certain threshold, like I'm sure as a human being, you're like, no death is acceptable, no injury is acceptable. But as a business, they're like, well, if it hits this threshold, then we'll issue a recall. I have no idea if that was true then. I was just talking to this one person. I have no idea if that is true now. But for Tesla to get two complaints or two claims and issue a recall, I think that is a very good response, especially when Tesla has a bad reputation for unintended acceleration. Whether that is on Tesla or not, in a lot of cases, it's been proven to be the customer's fault, not Tesla's fault. But whether that is on Tesla or not, the general consensus out there when you talk to people is that it's Tesla's fault. And because your Uncle Eddie is not going to say, yeah, I held the accelerator down because I panicked and ran into the Beverly Hills sign the other day, which actually ended up happening. In reality, in a lot of these cases, I'm not going to say 100% of these cases, but in a lot of these cases, the fault wasn't with the vehicle. The fault was with who was driving the vehicle. Not saying that's every single time. I want to be very clear on that. There have been a lot of issues when someone thought that they had the car in reverse and they ended up, you know, accelerating into their garage or into the wall of their garage because they were actually in drive. So these kind of things happen.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, I want to take a very quick break. And I just want to remind everybody that this show has a Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com. And you can support the show. And all of the money goes back into the show. None of the money goes back into my pocket. I have a job. My wife has a job. All of that money goes into making this show better, whether that's buying new equipment for the show or whatever needs to be paid for the show. Trust me, it is not a cheap show to run. So if you're interested in helping out, go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com. You can also do Acast Plus if you don't like Patreon. All the links are in the show notes, and as an added benefit, you don't have to listen to ads. And for as little as a dollar a month, you don't have to listen to ads. Okie doke, let's move on to our final story. Remember when Tesla shareholders took the Tesla board of directors and Elon to court over Elon's $55 to $56 billion compensation package? If you don't know, Elon and the board were accused of breaching their duties to Tesla and wasting corporate assets and unjustly enriching Elon Musk. The lawsuit claims that the terms of the compensation package were not properly negotiated. Rather, in what the lawsuit is saying is that Elon dictated the terms of the compensation package and the board just approved it in a sham negotiation. Tesla's board, I will say, as a side note here, Tesla's board of directors have been, you know, very loyal to him, and we'll talk about some of that here in just a second. In addition, the lawsuit claims that the shareholders were given misleading and incomplete disclosures in the proxy statement. Now, that's what the shareholders are claiming. The defense attorneys for Tesla, Elon, and the board are saying, nah, that's not true. They were actually... The pay was fairly negotiated by a compensation committee whose members were independent and contained very hard-to-hit performance milestones for Elon to get that money. A few months ago, a judge in Delaware, because Delaware happens to be where Tesla is incorporated, as much as they might want to say they're a Texas company, they're not. Yeah, not yet anyway. A judge in Delaware ruled that Elon can't have his money. They ruled in favor of the shareholders. After that ruling, Elon actually went on X and recommended that people never incorporate in Delaware. Instead, he recommended incorporating in Nevada or Texas. That is, if you prefer shareholders to have the ability to decide matters for your company. And we'll get on what a ridiculous statement that is in just a second here. Now Tesla is asking shareholders yet again to approve Elon's compensation package at the next shareholders meeting. They're also asking them to approve a move from incorporating in Delaware to incorporating in Texas. You know, before we go too much further here, I should actually explain Elon's compensation package. It could be worth $55.8 billion over 10 years, with the start of the 10 years being in 2018. So it's not like he would get $55.8 billion today. As a matter of fact, he might not get $55.8 billion altogether if the package is actually approved, because it's tied to the value of that package is tied to a lot of factors that I'm not totally familiar with and I'm not really educated enough about to talk about. But I will say that prior to the judge's ruling, it was $55.8 billion, which is a huge sum of money. But now it's closer to $44.9 billion because of those factors that I just talked about that I'm not smart enough to go into any detail about. But there is a possibility that that package could be significantly lowered if Tesla's stock price continues to go down and a bunch of other things happen and Elon doesn't meet certain milestones. Tesla has launched a website for shareholders to review, and it goes into all the reasons why they should approve the board's recommendations of, you know, whatever Tesla proposals, and we'll go into those in just a second. On the actual website, it does say that Elon and Kimball Musk, Elon's brother Kimball, will abstain from voting, which, I mean, they should. But you know who won't be abstaining from voting? Tesla's third biggest retail shareholder, Leo Kuguan, and I'm pretty sure I'm saying his last name wrong, so we'll just say Leo from this point forward. He's the third largest retail investor behind Larry Ellison, who's the founder of Oracle, and Elon Musk. So Leo has over 27 million shares, and he's invested, not what these shares are worth currently, but he's invested his own money, $3.5 billion into the company. He is a self-proclaimed Elon fanboy, but he has said that he will vote against Elon's pay package. Not only is he voting against Elon's pay package, he's also voting against Kimball Musk's re-election to the board of directors, as well as Elon's friend James Murdoch, his re-election to the board of directors. Leo has said that Tesla is a family business masquerading as a public company. Remember when I said that, you know, the board is really loyal to Elon? That's because he stacked the board with people that he wanted in there that would be loyal to him. Leo is frustrated that he's unable to talk to the board about his concerns, which he has many of. Now, I have opinions when it comes to shareholders having access to the board of a company or the CEO of a company. I would rightfully understand that if you owned 27 million shares of a company, when you had a concern, you'd want to bring that up to the board of the company. You would want to have those conversations with members of the board. I also happen to think that if you own one share of that company, you should have that same ability if the person who owns 27 million shares has that ability. So I don't know if Tesla is not taking this gentleman's calls because they don't want to deal with him and they don't want to listen, or if they just have a policy in general that they don't talk one-on-one with individual investors in that capacity. I don't know, honestly. And I should mention, while all of this is going on with this $56 million, billion-dollar pay package or $44 billion pay package or however it ends up being, Tesla is laying off 10% of its workforce. And a lot of these people we listened on last episode did not receive the warmest and kindest layoff announcements. Many of them were just locked out of their Teams app, or their badges wouldn't work, or they received calls at like 2 o'clock in the morning, messages at 2 o'clock in the morning saying that they are no longer needed at Tesla, which sucks. That's a terrible, terrible way of doing things. I do understand a company's concern when you lay somebody off and they go to an extreme and maybe come into work and hurt people. I do understand that that can happen. However, that doesn't mean you take the humanity out of interacting with your former employees. But I did a little bit of math. So if you took $56 billion, which is Elon's compensation package, and you gave that to 15,000 people, I don't know, say recently former Tesla employees, each of those people would receive $3,733,333.33. That's how much $56 billion is. 15,000 people could become millionaires off of one person's pay compensation. Now, I am not a shareholder of Tesla. And if you are and you want to vote for this, by all means, because I do believe that companies should honor the wishes of their shareholders 100%. I also believe that in matters of this kind of magnitude, where some one person is going to receive an incredible amount of money or could potentially receive an incredible amount of money, all of your paperwork and procedures and whatever it is that you have to do to make this happen, That all needs to be in order, and a judge in Delaware decided that that wasn't the case. I'm going to be honest, there's a chance that a judge in Texas would also decide that that isn't the case as well. And there are lawyers out there who are probably screaming into the void telling me I'm wrong, and if I am, let me know. But it seems as if this is a reaction, and I wanted to say temper tantrum, but I'm not going to say that. This is a reaction to some bad news. What I would like to see Tesla do is regroup, put together a better proposal, dot their I's, cross their T's, and resubmit. But that's just me. Along the same lines of what we just talked about, this summer we are going to get Tesla's annual shareholders meeting. And we actually have the proposals that Tesla is putting forward and the proposals that stockholders are putting forward. So I just want to read through those real quick. There's not very many of them. The first one, and there's a lot of legalese in this, so forgive me. This is Tesla's proposals. A Tesla proposal to elect two Class 2 directors to serve for a term of 3 years or until their respective successors are duly elected and qualified. I'm guessing this is the Kimball, Musk, and James Murdoch thing. Tesla's board recommends that shareholders vote for this. Next up, number two, we have a proposal to approve executive compensation on a non-binding advisory basis. Number three, Tesla has a proposal to ratify the 100% performance-based stock option award to Elon Musk that was proposed to and approved by your stockholders in 2018. The board recommends you vote for. And then finally, to ratify the appointment of PricewaterhouseCoopers as the independent registered public accounting firm for Tesla. And then again, the board recommends that you vote for that. So four proposals by Tesla, four recommendations that you vote for. That's a lot of fours in there. Now, the Tesla stockholder proposals, there's like seven of those. So let's start off here. The first proposal from stockholders regarding the reduction of director terms to 1 year if properly presented. So reduce from 3 to 1. Tesla's board recommends that you vote against this. Weird. A stockholder proposal regarding simple majority voting in provisions in our own governing documents, if properly presented. Tesla's board recommends that you vote against this. A proposal regarding annual reporting on anti-harassment and discrimination efforts, if properly presented. Tesla's board recommends against that. They recommend against annual reporting on anti-harassment and discrimination efforts. A stockholder proposal regarding adoptions of a freedom of association and collective bargaining. This is a union one. Not surprisingly, Tesla's board recommends against. A stockholder proposal regarding reporting on effects and risks associated with electromagnetic radiation and wireless technologies. Tesla is working on a wireless charging system. So if I had to guess, that's what this proposal is wanting them to look into. The board recommends voting against this measure. A stockholder proposal regarding adopting targets and reporting on metrics to assess the feasibility of integrating sustainable metrics into senior executive compensation packages. I don't really know 100% what that is about, so I'm not going to – I don't have anything to say on that. But the board recommends against. A stockholder proposal, this last one, regarding committing to a moratorium on sourcing materials from deep sea mining. The board recommends against. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, here's our proposals from the Tesla point of view. Please vote for all of them. And as far as the stockholder proposals go, please don't vote for any of them. I feel pretty confident since I've been covering Tesla, started in 2016. I don't think I've ever seen Tesla recommend that someone vote for a stockholder proposal. I don't know if this is unique in the business world or if this is just done all the time. I would imagine that what the shareholders or stockholders would like to see is very different than what the actual people running the company would like to do. So it's probably more common than I know. But yeah, that is it for us today. That is our whole episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Hopefully I wasn't too verbose. I actually went to a doctor's appointment yesterday. This is completely off track. But I went to an appointment yesterday. He wasn't a doctor. He was a nurse practitioner, but that doesn't bother me. Other than introducing ourselves to one another, this guy talked for 45 minutes, and then we got into an argument, and I will not be seeing him anymore. I was like, man, I got an appointment at 10:30, and he talked for another 10 minutes. I was like, either you do your assessment and I'm going to leave, or you're just not going to get paid because you didn't do your physical examination. They needed a very basic physical examination. I did not get to talk about any of the things that I wanted to talk about, which included, like, my mom has Alzheimer's, so it included, like, keeping track of that and keeping my brain healthy. And then I think I have a little bit of nerve damage from a fall that happened last like October, September timeframe. But anyway, not even that big of a deal. Like, I had fairly simple requests. I didn't even get a chance to talk to him about that. But anyway, now I feel like that guy is what I'm saying. I feel like that guy. And if I was, please feel free to send me an email. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. And let me know if I was too verbose. I basically, every time you and I get together, I hog the conversation anyway. So I get where you're coming from. If you want to follow me on Twitter or X, you can find me at 918digital.com. And if you haven't already yet checked out my new podcast, Beyond the Post, with Rob Dunwood and myself, I would highly encourage you to check it out because we interviewed most recently Roger Chang of the Daily Tech News Show. He's a producer. And if you're interested in creating at all, Roger really let folks in behind the scenes of what goes on at big media places and small podcasts and medium-sized podcasts. He did a really great job. So I might actually attach a little part of that interview to next week's episode or our next episode. But don't worry, it's not going to impede what we do here and what we chat about. It's just, I am so proud of what Rob and I have done with this show. I want to share it with as many people as possible. It's really good. And this is from somebody that doesn't think, I don't think most of the things, like, I don't think this podcast you're listening to right now is that great. So this is coming from somebody who thinks almost everything that I do is pretty much crap. So I'm really proud of it. All right, everybody, I'm going to let you go. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and I will talk to you sometime on Tuesday, hopefully.